They too busy. Like three people got it. This side of the room was ready. They are the alert group. This is the group I'm going to preach to all day. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. All right. Amen. Well, last week we talked to you guys about being Avengers, and we asked the question, what is your superpower? Anybody remember that? Yes, it was a great, great lesson. I actually got a message from Jonathan. His almost three-year-old was talking about her superpowers, and they actually found a little shirt that says, you know, what are your superpowers? And she was super excited about it. I said, well, if at two she understands that God gives us spiritual gifts and we call those supernatural powers, then I'm pretty excited, because hopefully all of us understands that God has given us spiritual gifts as well. Somebody say yes. Yes. So we are in the series called Releasing the Supernatural in You. And last week we asked the question, what is your superpower? We went through seven gifts and their Avenger counterparts. Now, I understand not everybody agreed with me on which Avenger had which spiritual gift. You can, when you teach this, you can make whatever Avenger you want have, whatever spiritual gift you want them to have. Amen? So I won't hold you to it. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, because that is where we left off last week. That's where we're going to pick up this week, talking about your spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit inside of you that God has given every believer to advance his kingdom, love God's people, and do the work of God here on the earth. So every believer, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have a superpower. Every believer is an avenger. As a matter of fact, last week we left off saying we were looking for Rohi Avengers. Yes. None of you, see, y'all don't like the comics like I do. Marvel, not DC. I don't like DC. Too dark. Marvel, I like. Right? All right. I should have given you time to find it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you find it, go ahead and stick your finger in your Bible or your electronic device. Lift it up high in the air. We're going to say our Bible affirmation together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words are up here on the screen for you. Let's read that together. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Father, we thank you so much that each one of us have received a special gift. Now, Lord, I pray that you will help us not only to understand that superpower, but also to begin to develop that superpower and that supernatural so that we can impact and impact this kingdom and this community the way you've called us to. Father, move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in. Have your way in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. So we're talking about what your special superpower is. And today what I want to talk to you about, my topic, is developing the supernatural in you. So last week we talked about what your motivational gifts are. We talked about those seven different areas. We looked at the Hulk, and we said that the Hulk had the gift of prophecy. And we talked a lot about the gift of prophecy as the ability to perceive, and that they are seers of the body of Christ. And those with the supernatural gift reveal truth by exposing sin. But the other part about the Hulk is the Hulk sometimes damages things when he's trying to do well. Somebody understands that, right? So we talked about the Hulk as the motivational gift of prophecy. And then we looked at the motivational gift of serving, and we said that Hawkeye had the gift of serving because Hawkeye was one who often helped other people. And those with this gift are the ones who are the hands of the body of Christ. I mean, they have a concern for simply meeting other people's needs. They are highly motivated doers. These are the folks that it doesn't matter what's going on in the church. They're going to come and they're going to just get stuff done for you. And I love people with this spiritual gift. Hallelujah. Anything that needs to be done, they're in it. Now, a lot of times they overwork themselves, though, because they often say, I'm going to go and serve so much, because they like meeting short-term needs. We talked about the spiritual gift of teaching, and we said that Captain America had that spiritual gift because the gift of teaching is the one that is passionate about discovering and validating truth. They want to know if it's true or false, and they love research. They love digging deeper into history and facts and details. And they like to impart this knowledge through instruction and communication to others. We talked about exhorting. Does anybody remember who the exhorter was? He was the easy one. Iron Man. That's the one everybody got. You know what? The kids were here. They got it. Iron Man. The exhorters are the cheerleaders. They have a desire to see people grow and mature in the Lord. They are practical. They're often very positive. They see positive results. The exhorters are the ones that always tell you how you can get stuff done. They're the step-by-step. Now, I also tell you the downside of the exhorters are if they're helping people to do better, if they don't make any changes, exhorters get a little ticked off. They're like, look, we didn't have 7 counseling sessions. I'm done. If you don't do this and you don't get your life together, I ain't coming back to you no more. That's the exhorter. Then we have the spiritual gift of giving, the motivational gift of giving. This we said was Spider-Man, because Spider-Man spent much of his time giving to his Aunt May and making sure that she was financially taken care of. And he would leave school to help others. Those with the spiritual gift of giving really enjoy reaching out and giving to other people. They enjoy blessing others. They desire to give quietly and in secret. They don't want other people to know what they're doing. They alert. They are so open to people's needs. These are the people when somebody is hurt, they're not going like, oh my gosh, they're hurt. They need a tissue. The people with the gift of giving are going, oh my gosh, they need money for their rent. We're going to have to take care of it. They're like completely different. So those with the gift of mercy are amazing because they find ways to be a blessing and to help other people. We talked about the motivational gift of leadership. And okay, you got to remember who had leadership. Nick Fury. Okay, see, it was a guy. Women, where were you last week? They're like, I don't know. We don't care about them superhero people. Nick Fury had the gift of leadership. Everybody loves this picture. I like to see Samuel smile. I'm sorry. They have the ability to see the overall picture. They set long-term goals. They're good organizers. They find efficient ways of getting things done. The leadership team are the people, when they see a problem, they look at who we can get involved to help us get it done. Then finally, the unknown, the unsung Avenger, the gift of mercy was Dr. Helen Cho. And y'all are like, who is she? Well, watch the movie, people. She had the gift of mercy. These individuals easily sense the stress in individuals. They are attracted to and are patient with people in need. They are motivated to see people healed of hurts. They're truly meek in nature and they avoid firmness. They are very focused on the emotional needs of other people. And we established very clearly last week, this is not my spiritual gift. But thank God for those of you out there with the gift of mercy. So that's the motivational gifts. And this week, what I want to do is I want to start talking to you about, now that you know, how many of you feel like I got a chance last week, or maybe I kind of sensed in this moment that I know what my motivational gifts are, or maybe just one of them. Lift your hand in the air. You got like, okay, very good. That is the why. Motivational gifts are the things that God has given you to make you say why. It's what lights your eyes up when you think about doing it. It is the thing that you get most excited about doing. Now, what's interesting with the motivational gifts is that they're not always expressed exactly that way. Just because I have the gift of teaching doesn't mean I'm going to teach kids in the back, because I may not be passionate about little children. Just because I can teach don't mean, pastor, stick me in the back with them kids. I can't do that. You may have the gift of teaching and also have a passion for electronics and for videos and lights, which means you might take our AV team and say, oh my gosh, I love teaching. I love electronics. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn and dig deeply into how this stuff works, and then I'm going to teach somebody else how to do it. But I am motivated by my gift of teaching, even though I'm not necessarily standing in a pulpit teaching. I may be motivated with the gift of prophecy, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stand in a pulpit and point fingers and tell people what they ought to do. I can be a greeter and be motivated with the gift of prophecy just by loving people as they come in and telling them what the Lord is encouraging them and how he's trying to bless them and help them. So it doesn't really matter where I'm serving. What matters is that I understand what my motivational gift is. But just like any gift, you can have a gift, but if you do nothing with it, it starts to die. I tell my children, both of my kids play sports, and I tell them very clearly, hard work beats talent when talent won't work. right? If you've got two kids, one works a lot harder, but the other one's naturally gifted, eventually which one's going to rise to the top? The one that is working harder. Natural gifts kind of tend to fizzle if you don't work at them. Well, guess what? Spiritual gifts are the same way. If you don't start working your spiritual gifts, they start to fizzle. Now, God has blessed us and given each of us some special thing, but if we don't put them into practice and learn how to develop them, nothing, I mean nothing, will come out of that gift in our hearts and in our lives. There's nothing worse than giving somebody a gift and them not using it. Well, I'm just saying. So then, Pastor, how do I develop my gifts? That brings us to the next part of the giftings, which is God gives us a motivational gift, but then he releases on us these things called ministry gifts. Now, ministry gifts are the places of service. They are my what. What am I going to do? This is how God works with whatever a believer does to serve and meet the needs of others. They are practical, essential, can-do types of gifts. These are our what's. What do I do with my gift? So I want you to see this by looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Because everybody gets a gift, but not everybody is going to get a title with their gift. Okay, nobody got that. A lot of people in church want a title before they start using their gift. But God did not assign everybody a title in order to use a gift. So I want to get this clear. If you're going to develop your gifts, we must understand that there are some titles that God releases. And I'm going to explain to you why he releases those titles. And you might say, well, I'm not one of those people in the titles. Well, just hang on, because I'm going to show you how you fit in your what, in the ministry gifts, and how you develop them. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said that Christ, this is he, Christ, Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles. Somebody say apostles. Some prophets, it's some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ gave these particular gifts to the church. So your motivational gifts come from Father God. The day you get saved, God places this motivational gift in your heart, whether it's teaching, serving, exhortation, whatever it may be. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Says, hold up, the church needs five types of leadership. And I'm going to tell you, because these are what. Now, you may not say, I'm going to be in leadership. That's fine. But I want you to understand these particular five gifts, because the purpose of these gifts is why they're so important. The purpose of these gifts is found in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So Jesus says we need leaders in the church so that the church can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Let me help you. Don't get it twisted. The leaders' jobs are not to do all of the work of the ministry. The leadership, our role as leaders, as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to equip you. Let me say that part again, because I think y'all missed it. Our job as leaders is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And if you're not doing the work of the ministry, you are not developing your gift. So you have to understand that Jesus is saying, I understand that you don't know how to develop your gift by yourself, but I'm going to leave you some leaders who will teach you how to develop that gift. But if you're going to develop it, you're going to have to get under the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Let me explain this equipping word. I love Pastor Jack Hafer, because I sat in his class one time and he taught this word. When I began to understand this, it completely changed my life as a leader. Our role as leaders are not to sit there and just be like, y'all ought to do this, now go do it. Our role is this word katartizo, which is equip in the Greek. It's called katartizo. And that word means to complete what is lacking, to mend what is broken, to repair, to strengthen, to perfect, to complete. See, the role of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to mend what is broken in your life. It's to help you repair whatever needs to be repaired inside of you so that you can then go on and do the work of the ministry. See, the problem is when we come into the church, we are broken. Now, maybe not all of y'all. When I came to church, I was broken. I was broke and broken. You might not fit those categories. But I came to church because I needed a savior. I was broken. And what happened is that many of us have experienced things in our lives that have caused us, that have broken, that have hurt our hearts, that have hurt the way we deal with people, that challenge the way we interact. I mean, some of us struggle to forgive because somebody hurt us so bad in the past, we don't know how to forgive. Now, what happens is if you place a person who doesn't know how to forgive and say, go do the work of the ministry and go serve, somebody gonna cuss them out eventually. And once that person hurts their feelings because they are still broken and don't know how to forgive, now they get mad at the church and say, the church is awful. The church people don't help. The church people are like this. And they walk away from the church completely. And I say the problem is not with the person who cussed them out. The problem is not even with the person who was broken. The problem is with the leaders, because the leader's job is to equip and help you mend that place that's broken so you learn how to deal with folks who go crazy on you. Uh-oh. So Pastor Jack Hayford explained it like this. This word katartizo was often used during the Greek times as a word that medical doctors would use. And it was used in the sense of a broken bone. If you ever have a broken bone, one of the things that doctors have to do is they have to reset the bone in order for it to heal properly. If the bone is not reset, many people can live with broken bones. I mean, it's painful, but we begin to adjust our lives. Maybe let's say it's our arm and our arm got broken. If it's broken and never gets set properly, we'll still live life, but maybe we can't reach all the way out. Maybe we can't open our hands all the way up. Maybe we can't move it completely, but we can still live life with that broken bone. The job of the doctors who katartizo the patients were to break the arm, reset it. Come on, somebody. That is a painful process. Put a splint on it and make sure it got healed. So the role of the person doing the katartizo is to break. Come on. To hurt your feelings a little bit so that you can come in alignment and be correctly placed, so that now instead of only being able to partially move your arm, when it fully heals, you can completely move it to reach where God is calling you to reach. So when people hurt my feelings, if I haven't been katartizoed properly, what happens is I can't fully reach out to them. I'm still only operating from a portion of my abilities. But if I have been properly mended and healed, now when somebody hurts me, it don't destroy me no more, because now I can reach my arms around you and say, it's okay. God still got it. Everything's going to be all right. So if you're going to develop your spiritual gifts, you're going to have to put yourself in a position where there are leaders who can katartizo you. Pastor, I don't have any problems. Work in ministry for a little bit. No, Pastor, I've dealt with my issues. Be a small group leader for just a little while. We think we have resolved a lot of the things in our lives. And you know what I love about God is when we serve, we start to see. Most of y'all just see in other people, but the Holy Spirit is like, no, 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 no. I'm trying to get you to serve so you can see what's going on in you. If you want to be a better person for Christ, you're going to have to serve and use your spiritual gifts. Because as you serve and use your spiritual gifts, more is going to come out about what's wrong with you and me. I didn't realize how crazy I was till I became a pastor. I mean, I thought I was much better. Didn't cuss as much anymore. I said as much this week. But I began to learn more about who I was as I served. And as I served, because it's easy to think everything's all right with you when there's no conflict with you. And here's another thing. This is the reason why people run from conflict so much. Because I don't like what's coming out in me. You ever cuss somebody out? Okay, let me rephrase that. You ever went off on somebody and then you got back and a part of you was like, dang, I don't like the me that was me when I went off. I don't like who I was in the middle of that. And you might say to yourself, yes, I was right, but I don't like how I was. I ain't say I wasn't right. I just didn't like the way I handled it. A good leader will then grab you, put their arms around you. This is where the gift of exhortation is so powerful. Come alongside you and say, it's okay. It's all right if you mess up. Matter of fact, that's what we want to start seeing is your mess ups. So we know how to help and we know how to bring healing and we know how to call the prophets who can begin to pray and begin to speak life in your situation. And we can begin to call the teachers who can give you the scriptures, who can show you how to fix this information so that you can begin to change all this stuff in your life. So the purpose of the leaders are to equip you, and you can only be equipped. We can only find out what's wrong with you when you serve. People, let me say this. People will come into counseling sessions. People tell you what they think is wrong with them. That's not the same. Because you think you got this problem, and the truth of the matter is, the people with the prophecy go, that ain't the problem. You just stingy and mean. Well, I just thought I had a problem with communication. Oh, no. So, see how it works? So, you come in, you serve. So, that's what the word katartizo is. So, then why did God give us these five different roles of leadership? Because all of this is important. He gives us, and I love my mentor, Pastor Cal, he teaches it like this. He says, if you think of it, it's the five-fold ministry. There's the apostle, who's the thumb, the prophet, who's the pointer, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And all five of those, when they come together, make a powerful punch to impact the community and the kingdom of God. So the apostle is the thumb. This is the person who does not necessarily rule it over the rest of them, but it touches all four of the other gifts. The apostle is the one who starts new works. The apostles are the one who, in particular, you see a lot of missionaries with this gift of just sending people out, getting started. Let me tell you something. If we didn't have an apostle to start this church, there wouldn't be a church for us to be able to have church where you can use your spiritual gifts. So the apostle is so important because the apostle is the one who starts works so that we can get involved. Look, let me tell you something. You don't have to start a church to have an apostolic leadership. You can start new programs. You can start new ministries. You can start new things in the church. They don't have to be even big things. You can just be a starter. So somebody say apostles are starters. But apostles also move. Now, in this, when I'm talking about the leadership role, they also primarily moved in gifts of healing, in miracles, in faith, in words of wisdom. These are the expressions of gifts that happen, the discerning of spirits. And sometimes they move in prophecy. So a lot of people sent me questions saying, Pastor, I don't understand the difference between a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Or I don't understand the gifts of these things operating. The role of apostle is the title. It is the leadership role. But they have all of these other gifts like healing and words of wisdom and words of knowledge operating through them as they lead the work. So if I'm leading the work, you know how a word of wisdom works? Word of wisdom works like that. I don't know, God, where I'm supposed to go. Oh, the Holy Spirit says we're supposed to go here. Get it? So that gift is operating, but it's the apostolic role that's the leader. The second part of it is the prophet. This is the one y'all don't like. Because the prophet is the forefinger. It's the one pointing at you. The prophet is the one that functions in revelations and points the way for believers. This is the office of the prophet, completely different than the gift of prophecy, because the office of a prophet carries a governmental authority and a higher role of responsibility. The gift of prophecy may be done as you walk outside and you talk to someone and the Holy Spirit releases a word for you to share with someone else. That's the gift of prophecy. That does not mean you are the prophet of the house. Somebody, let's get this straight. Okay? People with this leadership gift and called the prophet, they are the ones who God is using in the church to bring them in alignment with the culture and the excellence and the perfection that God wants to have inside the church. Those with the gift of prophecy often love to pray. I'm talking about the prophet. Now, I will clearly say this. Pastor Jen is one of the prophets in this house. Because Pastor Jen understands and hears God's word and understands it for the culture of the entire church, not just individuals. Now, you can talk to her individually and you may get a word of encouragement or a prophetic word or something like that. But now that doesn't mean aren't other prophets. I'm just making that clear. As the office of prophet, guess what her job is to do? Her job is to help other people who have the gift of prophecy to operate effectively. So if you think you have the gift of prophecy, guess what? The person you might want to talk to, maybe not today, but eventually, is Pastor Jen. Because I'm going to tell you something. She has been studying and learning and growing how to make sure that we properly release this gift in the house. And some of you are like, well, I got the gift of prophecy, but I don't think I'm supposed to be over the whole church. What do I do with it? Nobody wants to say they got that gift because you're scared. Come on, Hulks, let's work together. Here's how that gift may work. You may have the gift of prophecy and have a passion for seeing the facility come together because you like interior design. People with the gift of prophecy, you're like, how does that work with interior design? You know what? You can say, God, how do you want this church to look like heaven? And you spend your time in the prayer room and God shows you and you can come in, you can say, you know what, Pastor? I believe the Holy Spirit is saying we need to have the church purple. I'm going to be like, purple? But you know what? If it's really the gift operating in you, we probably paint it purple. We ain't going to go back and repaint nothing. Huh, Mr. Joe? What we may do is say, well, if you think it's purple, then let me tell you something. Go get a paintbrush and get to going. It's all right, right? It's good to use that gift. But you use someone like Pastor Jen, especially when you have the gift of prophecy, because you don't know if it's right or wrong. How are you going to know if your gift is operating properly if you don't have somebody to correct you or somebody to say this is how it works? So a lot of times I say, you know, people have words during church. I say, go talk to Pastor Jen. Pastor Jen be like, Pastor, they ain't got nothing. They don't have it. And you don't get your feelings hurt, because what's her job? It's to catartizo you. It's to say, you kind of operating in your feelings right now. That's not, some people have the gift of prophecy, and you know what they really have? They think they have the gift of prophecy, and it's really the gift of criticism. Two completely different things. But the office of a prophet will correct. Oh, y'all don't like that. So that you can develop and grow that gift properly. I thank God for offices of the prophet. Pastor Cal, who is my spiritual mentor, operates definitely in the office of prophet throughout the body of Christ, as well as the office of apostle. And I love him because the night my husband passed and the Lord told me to pastor this church, I didn't think I was supposed to. I was like, I'll tell you, God, yes. But I went to Pastor Cal and I said, look, I don't know about women pastors. I never seen one like by herself. Like, this is strange. And the office of the prophet was able to teach me and correct me and said, no, God has called you to this. This is where God is speaking. But see, if I didn't have somebody to go talk to about it, are you guys understanding what I'm saying? That's how you develop it. So you got to find people to talk about. Here's the next one. Evangelist. They're the middle finger. I can't put that one up by itself. So I'll just go like this. They're the longest finger because they reach the furthest out in the community. The evangelists are those who keep our hearts burning for the lost. They're the people who say, I love, you know, family department. I love that y'all want to reach the kids in here, but what you going to do to reach the kids out in the community? They're the people who keep your eyes outward instead of inward. The people with this gift correct us when we think we got it all straight because we're doing this for the people in the house. They're like, No, no, no. Those who operate in this gift loved our outreach department. Because they're like, how do we reach more people? This is one of the reasons why our children have friends and family to have this special outreach day coming up. Because the evangelists in the house are saying, our kids need to make sure they're still reaching out to folks and telling them about Jesus too. Now let me say this. If we didn't have the evangelists, how many of us realize we would probably get kind of comfortable? And we'd be like, well, it's a good number of people at church today. That was all right. But the people with the gift of evangelists are like, oh, come on. Come on, people. Let's get it together. Right? That is not a motivational gift, by the way. Do y'all realize that? Evangelism is not a motivational gift. You know why? Because every believer ought to be motivated by telling somebody else about Jesus. But we have to have an office of evangelism because the people in the church are going to forget all about the folks outside the church. You ever been to a church that was so churchy, no non-church people could function in it? You know why? Because the evangelism office wasn't loose to say, hey, this church got to look like and it's got to be welcoming for new people or we're not going to keep them. Okay, watch this. Then we have the third finger, which is the pastor, the ring finger. And the reason why the pastor is the ring finger is because that's your wedding finger. The pastor is married to the church. They are committed to their flock. The pastor is the one who shepherds, who cares, who loves for, who encourages you. Let me tell you something. If you can't figure out how the pastor operates it with your spiritual gift, then come see me. Because what I will do for you is walk alongside you, put my arm around you, and help you find a place of service. Come on, somebody. That's our role. Our role is to be there. Our role is to, you know, a lot of people think our role is to show up at funerals, to do weddings, and to do, you know, baptisms. That's not my role. You know why? Because those are works of ministry. And who's supposed to do that? You. Wait, I'm supposed to go visit people in the hospital? Yes. I'm supposed to go to funerals? Yes. You can't perform the wedding ceremonies, but you sure can help. You know, you can go down to the, you can get one of them licenses. Okay, that's another story. But our job is to make sure those things are happening in the church so that the people of the church are cared for. But it is you guys' job to do that type of work so that the people in the church are cared for. Let me release myself and every other pastor in the church. And here's the release. I'm going to release you too. Do not put the expectation on your pastors that we are supposed to be at everything or do everything for you. Because I hate to tell y'all, if that is the way you view pastors, you are going to be sorely and severely disappointed over and over again. Now, does that mean we'll never show up at something? Absolutely not. But where I'm one person, and I technically am only half a person because the other half of me has to be a mom. And priority says through God's kingdom, my children get more time than y'all. No offense. I love y'all dearly. But here's the thing. This is why I want to equip y'all. The body has to minister to the body or we're going to be in trouble. Now, on the flip side, that doesn't mean I'm so busy I can't spend time or help or do whatever. I really love to do those things. But the main thing that I want everybody to understand is our job as a pastor is to equip you and to help you to help others. Okay? This is, I like it. You might not. Lastly, the little finger, the teacher. Although it's the smallest finger, the little finger is essential and provides balance for the church. The teacher grounds the church in truth through instruction in the word of God. The teacher is the one when we sitting in a small group going, I still ain't seen no scripture yet. I'm sorry, where'd you get that from? The teacher is the one that is going to come to you in the office of the church and say, you know what, I really appreciate that message that you gave or that word you gave, but where's the word in it? Now, the person with the gift of prophecy might share a word, but a person with the gift of the office of teaching is going to say, where is the scripture in the word you just gave? Because I need the word. So the teacher is going to keep bringing you back to the word of God. Keep bringing you back to the word of God. Now, the apostle carries all of those roles. And so many times as a pastor, you might think you're operating as a pastor, but I'm operating starting new works. I'm operating in the gift of prophecy or as a prophet, operating in the gift of evangelism or as an evangelist, operating as the pastor as and also the teacher, which also brings us to the point that if when we don't have all five of these in our church, we're in trouble. So how do we get all five of these developed? We start wherever you are. You serve where you are, and you allow God to raise you up. If God has called you to one of these offices, he will call you. But many of us don't want those leadership roles. You know why? Because we don't want to deal with people. People are messy, but they're necessary. If Jesus said he didn't want to deal with people, where would the church be? So you develop your gifts by using them. You develop your gifts by getting under leaders. And I'm going to finally say this. You can develop your gifts by learning more about your gifts. The more you learn about your gifts, the more, and if you can say, I don't know where to go. There's so much good information out there. If you don't know where to find it, you can come see me. You can come see Pastor Jen. You can come see, who else is one of our, Pastor B. King is really good about finding stuff to help you learn and grow as well. I mean, there's so many people that you can talk to in this church that are leaders. Miss Donna is great. She's not here today. She's at a graduation for her daughter. But there's so many things, people around you that will help you understand and learn how to grow your gift. We have so many resources. We just took our leadership team through a whole training on prophecy. I mean, it was a wonderful training. So if you think you have that gift and you want to invest in yourself, you can purchase that gift. I don't have it, but I'll tell you where to buy it from. If you think you have the gift of teaching, there's some great books on teaching. That one book that you read, that you gave us to read as a teacher, Jen, I can't remember the name of it. The Hendrix book, yeah. Great books on teaching. Whatever gift you think you have, if it's exhortation, I can teach you how to encourage. Whatever gift it is, you're going to have to start growing that gift. We talk to our children about getting educated, but in the church, we as adults don't get educated about our spiritual gifts. Let me tell you something. Can you imagine what this church would be like if everybody in here took a year and says, I'm going to educate myself on my spiritual gift? What would we be like in a year? That we're going to have to go to another service because the place will be packed. Because you know what happens when we exercise our spiritual gifts? The church grows. The body functions as a unit. The body functions as a whole. The body does what it's supposed to do. And so I'm here to help and make sure you get equipped. All of our leaders, our deacons and our elders and our pastors are here to make sure you get equipped so that you can do the work of the ministry. And the Bible says when you do that, then we'll all be brought together in unity. Then we work together like a body is supposed to function. But we have to use those gifts. So here's what I want you to do today. What was the point of today's message? The point of today's message is to help you understand that you can develop your gifts and to tell you to do one thing. Use them. Let's go. What? Okay, stand to your feet. Y'all just all sitting here looking at me. Let's go. Let's go use our gifts. It is time. And you might not know, you might use your gift in one place that you're not as passionate about as you'd like. Here's what I want to tell you. We are okay if you try something and it doesn't work for you. But what we don't want to do is have you try it and walk away from the church completely because it didn't work for you. Just talk to one of the leaders. We'll help you figure it out. We'll help you find your place of service. We'll help you find the place where you can use your gifts the most. But everybody in here has a gift. And everybody in here, the Bible says that God has given you that gift and he's given you leadership to equip you on how to develop those gifts so that you could use them for the work of ministry. So let's pray. Well, God, remove every excuse. Remove every excuse and every reason why we shouldn't be involved, why we shouldn't serve. So many of us say we shouldn't serve because we're not qualified. I command that voice to just be quiet right now in the name of Jesus. Your qualification came the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ and he put a motivational gift inside of you. That's what that gift is for. Now it's up to you to develop it. It's up to you to use that gift. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe that God wants many of you to use those gifts right here in this church. Some of us are taking our spiritual gifts to the world and not giving them right here in the church. Yep, you can use your spiritual gift in the world on your job too. But God wants you to also use them right here inside the church. That doesn't mean you don't use them out there, but you should also use them here. So Father, right now, touch our hearts. Lord, if there's any place, any gift, any motivation that I need to have and to release in this house, begin to speak it right now into our hearts. Then the next thing I want you to do is I want you to challenge yourself to place yourself under a leader who can help you grow that gift. Don't ask them to mentor you. Just start serving. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say that again. Don't ask them to start off by mentoring you. Start serving, and they will mentor you naturally as you serve. They'll watch you. So come on up. Where's all pastors, deacons? Come on, deacons in training too. Come on, come on. Come on, Jean. Don't everybody bum rush Jen. Because we got Renee, he's got gifts. We've got Jonathan, he's got gifts. We've got Joel, she's got gifts. Pastor B is back, I think, serving. Is he serving in the back or is he out today? He's got gifts. He's in the back serving with the kids. We've got so many people with spiritual gifts. These people will help you grow them. You don't know where to serve? We got a chart with 49 open slots that they know about of where you can serve. My past, you don't know what I've been through. Shut up. I don't really care. Because God will use your mess to be your message if you'll let him. You just need to start serving. You got a word? Yeah. Oh, you look like you had a... Yes, you do. I know that look on her face when she has a word and she doesn't want to share it. Okay, she's going to hold and let it simmer for a second. All right, so here's what we're going to do. At the end of service, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. You might not be volunteering here. And maybe you're volunteering and you feel like, I need to step it up. I need to do more. Or maybe you're saying, I need to learn about my gift. Come talk to one of these. Oh, I didn't see Alex down there and Anna Maria. Come on over here. Y'all done front-loaded one side of the church. There you go. Leaving Jen down there by herself. Okay. Come visit one of them at the end of service. Yeah, at the end. No, let's... Go ahead, Jen. You got it yet? Okay.
Just hearing, there's a scripture that talks about maturing in our faith and maturing in our walks with God. And I just kind of hear the Holy Spirit saying, don't depend on somebody else to feed you everything that you need to grow. You can come and see someone and you need to do that, and that's important. But it's also important for you to take responsibility for your growth and not to blame someone if you're not growing, because it's no one else's fault to feed you. We all have arms we can pick up and feed ourselves. So my encouragement to you is try starting somewhere. I started serving with toddlers, and it was terrible. It was awful. I don't have that gift. But I didn't quit, and I tried something else, and I tried something else, and I tried something else until I found something that started to work. And I still put myself in a position where I asked Pastor to correct and fix. And I'm hesitant to share words because I'm honestly not always sure. So I have to sit and say, okay, let me make sure. So I want to just encourage you, feed yourselves. Start, don't make someone else responsible for your growth. Dig in, find resources, and grow. That's it.
That's why I push her like that. Because I know she has a gift. See, watch this, equipping. I know she has a gift. I know she talks to God. I trust it. If it ever comes out wrong, we go back, we talk, we correct. But that's how it works. That's why she's sitting there shaking her head. You got something. Come on, let's go. That's the attitude in this church. The attitude in this church is, you got something. Come on, let's go. We'll figure it out. We'll fix it. But you got to have the heart where you say, all right, you correct me, I'm cool. I'll fix it. You can't be easily offended. And you can't get mad because Pastor forgot to get back to you. I don't care if you bug me. The squeaky wheel in my life gets the oil, bottom line. So if you need something, just keep emailing me. Keep calling me. Keep checking. Keep. I'll eventually get it. I'll be like, oh my God, they're calling me again. I got to get it to them. Right? But what she's saying is true. We are here. Don't feel like you're bothering us. That's why God put us here. That's our job. Not even the ones we get. They don't get paid. I'm the only one that get paid. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But that's not, gotta have somebody doing this full time. But that's the only reason, that's why we're here, okay? So I want to cancel every lie that says to you that we're too busy to help you figure it out. But I also want to cancel every lie that says they're responsible for my growth and them alone. So it's a two-way street. We gotta work together. Because you know what I want? I want everybody to grow up to maturity so that the body of Christ can be unified. Because let me tell you something, we got a community that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we're a part of the solution if we operate the way that God's called us to. So let me pray for you. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You sense you got a call in your heart? Move. Come on up. Find somebody. Just go stand by you. I'm going to pray for you. Come on. You feel like I'm supposed to get more involved? You feel I'm supposed to take it to another level? Come on. Let's go. You don't know where to go? I don't really care. Just come on. We'll help you figure out. You don't have to do this on your own. I want everybody who senses that there is something happening in your heart. You feel like, man, I got to get involved. You feel like I got a gift. Maybe you don't even know what that gift is. Come on up. Let's go. Let's rock. Let's rock. Come on. Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be afraid. We're going to walk through it with you. We're going to be there with you. We're going to be there with you. You, come on. There's gifts that God is trying to release in this house. There's some of you that have been wanting to serve, but you don't even know where to serve. Come on. Some of y'all used to serve. Some of y'all serve. Some of y'all want to do more. Some of y'all don't like where you're serving. Come up. I'm okay with that too. We'll fix that too. Mr. Joe, you come up here too, because, you know, he hasn't walked through our leadership training yet, but he sure is operating as a leader right now. So we're going to ask him to come on up too. God can put a call in your life as a leader, and you don't have to have the title, you don't have to have the training, but it sure does fit the right need. That's what God has done. So come up. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let them talk to each other. And I'm going to let you guys, if y'all need to talk to me and you're saying, hey, Pastor, I don't even know. Come talk to me. All right? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. I decree over every person in here that the gift that God has given you shall be developed. It shall grow to maturity, and it shall be used to bring people to the kingdom of God, to mature people in the kingdom of God, to make this place more like heaven on earth. I release in here the Spirit of the living God to operate in those that are serving and for those that are going to continue to serve. We thank you, Lord Jesus. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.